understand you just had your large annual meeting. What are some of the highlights from the past year?
Okay, so from the past year, we're quite proud of our results in conservation. So we've protected 9 new properties that are now protected forever. And together, those 9 properties represent 700 hectares. So we're really, really proud of those results in conservation. And we've done a lot of science project as well. So acquisition knowledge on properties and on species at risk and on wildlife corridors. And doing science on new properties, it means that owners are undergoing or starting new conservation projects with us. So it means that the community is still really involved in the mission of Appalachian Corridor and conservation. So that will bring new projects again for the coming year. And, you know, the last year we closed, even though we had the COVID pandemic and with all what came with, you know, challenges that came with it. So our team was maintained, and we had nice financial results and many, many activities. So we're really proud that we were in some way resilient to that situation and were able to continue our activities and concluding projects even though of that situation.
Wow, that's very good. So can you explain what these conservation projects are and what they tell you about the land?
Well, conservation projects that we're doing aims to protect the biodiversity through the creation of new protected areas. And since we're on private land in southern Quebec and specifically in our region, almost 95% of the land is private. So we make those projects in really in partnership with landowners, and so they give some rights on their property, or they donate or sell their property for the protection of their natural habitats. So we discover many things on those properties: species at risk, rare forest ecosystem, some wetlands, some you know, wildlife, and so on, that are present on those properties. And so when they have a great ecological value, so we can fund those projects, or they can be eligible under the EcoGift program. And at the end of those projects, we sign all the papers in front of a notary, so it's official and legally and forever protected. So it's projects that take sometimes many years. For example, one of the projects that were concluded in that year is the Mount Foster project. So it's 7 years of really hard work that is behind this project. And so after they are protected, we manage them, we visit them to be sure that everything is fine on those properties. But it gives the guarantee that those properties will remain natural and will continue to provide all the benefits to the community that they provide.
So in the documents I've been reading on your website, it said your percentage of protected land went from 7.4 to 7.6. What exactly does this mean?
Well, when we make the sum of what is protected from the government on public land, let's say like the Mount Offord National Park, and when we add the properties that are protected on private land, so So altogether on the territory of action where Appalachian Corridor works, so it's the Northern Green Mountains. So it means that 7.6% of the territory is under real and perpetual conservation. So it's not that much, but for the south of Quebec, it's the highest concentration of protected property we have. So if we look at what is ongoing in the rest of the eastern region and in the Montérégie region, it's about 3.5% of the land that is protected. So here it's more than twice of it. But our objectives, like national objectives for conservation, actually is 17%. So we still have a lot of work to do, but we're quite proud of those results because, I mean, 20 years ago, other than the Mount Offord National Park, there were no other protected area in the region.
Why is it so important for the Appalachian Corridor to have protected land?
Well, it's important for everybody. It's important for the government of Quebec, for the federal government, for the international community, and important for every citizen. Protecting biodiversity is the only way to be sure that all the services provided by the nature is maintained. And we are engaged, like nationally, into the Protocol d'Aichi, in which we said that we will protect 17% of the land. And this protocol has been ratified by numerous and many, many countries worldwide. And so by doing so, we make sure that the forest maintain the forest, that we maintain all the ecosystems functions that all our natural habitats provide. And as well, our mission, Corridor Appalachian, our vision is not only to protect biodiversity, but is looking at creating a large natural corridors of protected area. Because maintaining connectivity and corridors is the basic entrance we should have to make sure that wildlife can adapt to climate change.
Oh wow!
Because with climate change, we know now for sure, and it's demonstrated by science that wildlife will have to move in a northern pattern, and will have to migrate north to find new habitats to fulfill their needs. Mm-hmm. So if we do not look at connectivity and at protecting a large natural corridors, species will have a lot more difficulties to face the climate change challenges.
What is the largest difference, I guess, in migrations that you've seen in the Appalachian Corridor?
Our strategy is based on science and on the science of conservation. So we are not doing very detailed research projects to identify the migration of specific species. I mean, okay. That would be probably a nice science to do, but it's not under our ability to make such large type of science. But we know that species and wildlife are migrating. They are moving from one place to another place, to a large forest core to another. They move to fulfill their need for feeding, for mating, and so on. And if we prevent them from moving into the landscape, we are creating more stress. And fragmentation and habitat loss is already a real challenge for the species. Mm-hmm. We have to realize that we live quite close from very large urban areas. Montreal is close, Sherbrooke. I mean, we're really lucky to have those nice forests and wide-ranging mammals that lives in the area. We have bobcat, mooses, black bears, and so on. Mm-hmm. So those species need to move. And mm-hmm. with climate changes, it adds another stress on them, on those populations. So by protecting large areas in the strategy of a large natural corridor, it's the best way to be sure that those animals will survive, will maintain and maintain the population we actually have.
Right, very interesting. So I understand you received a large provincial grant for the PPMN. What is this and what does it mean for the region?
So that is a very recent announcement. So it was made with our national partner, NCC. So it means money for organizations like us to make new conservation projects through land acquisition. So we have a part of this envelope is reserved for us and our local affiliate members. And so it means that for the two coming years, we can conclude and continue our work on protecting large properties and by purchasing some land in favor of conservation. And with this program, so the government of Quebec put, let's say, $1, and we have to provide at least one extra dollar for every project. So with this envelope, it means that we'll have over than $3.5 million dollars of new conservation projects in the coming 2 years with this grant. Oh, wow. And this grant is a part of this envelope is reserved for Appalachian Corridor, but almost all of our projects are done with local volunteer groups. So we have 17 affiliate members that work with us. So they are mainly organizations that are volunteer-based. And so we make conservation projects all together, joined together. And so this money can go through these organizations by making the conservation projects with them.
How much territory does the Appalachian Corridor now protect?
With our partners, local conservation groups, and us, so actually it's a big number. So it's 14,400 hectares.
Wow.
That is protected forever. So those results have been achieved over the last 18 or 20 years in the region, and it continues. The rhythm of new projects is maintains quite high. And so when we started 18 years ago, we were not sure if we would have projects for many years in front of us. But last year we've done, as it's in our annual report, we did 20 ecological surveys on as many properties. So it means 20 landowners that called us and confirmed us that they want to do a conservation project on their property. And this summer 2020, it's 24 ecological surveys that were done on 24 properties.
Yeah.
So you can see that the community is really engaged and interested in those properties. Mm-hmm. We have, I would say, twice a month, we have a phone call from a family, from someone who say, We're having that property for many years, and we really love it. And we're thinking for the future of this property, and we're interested in conservation or in donating our land. So we have calls like this very regularly. So it means that people are very cherish their land and want to take care of them and want the natural habitats to be maintained through conservation projects.
Right. So when these people are donating their private land, are they still able to have a home on it, or does it completely go back to being natural?
Well, the pieces of land that are under conservation projects, so it's not the area with the, you know, the barn or the house.
Okay,
so
yeah.
It's really like the natural part of the property.
Oh, nice.
That can become a protected area. So sometimes landowners choose to donate a part of their land,
mm-hmm.
that is eligible to the EcoGift program, which give very important tax benefits for the donors.
Okay.
Or sometimes the landowner choose to remain their titles on their property, and they can give just a conservation servitude on their property. So they let go some rights on their property. So under those agreements, the property can be recognized as a protected area, but the landowner can continue to, you know, walk in his forest or
mm-hmm.
hunt. And enjoy their forests, but with an agreement that prevents that there can be housing, roads on them, or any activities that can destroy the natural characteristics of those properties.
Wow, very good. Well, you've had an extremely busy year, but do you have any future plans you can share for land in the area?
We keep doing a lot of science, many projects on the land. So we're doing some validation of natural corridors. We continue our projects with the Ministry of Transportation on Highway 10 to understand the impact of that road on wildlife and to see how we can increase both the security for wildlife and for users of that road. We are doing a lot of projects on conservation projects. So we have 25 ongoing conservation projects on which we're working on, and among which is a very large project in the region of Eastman. Yeah, so we're planning to continue our nice mission with our growing team. This summer, we were 22 employees at Appalachian Corridor, so we're really proud to have so many activities and be a green employer. And we just bought a new place for Appalachian Corridor. Over the last 6 years, we were looking to relocate our offices, because the last place we had was problematic on many aspects, really too small, no good internet connection, and sometimes it was flooded in the spring. So anyway, we really had to move, and we just bought a new place in the village of Eastman. So we have now room enough for the entire team of Appalachian Corridor, but we need to fund. And that's why we have a campaign for this acquisition, which is not easy to fund. It's quite easy to have money for new conservation projects, but it was a real challenge to make this acquisition, but it was absolutely necessary to maintain our services and have a place for employees.
That sounds very good, and you have good plans for the future. Well, that was my last question. So, do you have anything else you'd like to share or say about the Appalachian Corridor?
Well, Appalachian Corridor is really based on a dialogue, a partnership with the community. And all what we are doing is really supported by the landowners, by our local conservation groups and volunteer. And that's the beauty of this project. It's really because it's supported by the community. And those projects with the landowners, it's not only like numbers that are added to a total of a percentage area on the territory. It's projects that are done, that are completed with people, with humans that really care for their property. And all those projects, they're really concluded for for the benefit of the citizen. We really want that the community can take advantage, can profit of those property, and that's why we're actually working on putting a trail, some hiking trails, on Mount Foster project. And next year we will be happy to welcome the local citizen to visit and can have a visit on that property. All of the projects we're doing are supported by the community, are done with the community, with landowners, with local conservation groups, with volunteer. And we're really concerned of that the community can profit of those projects, like putting some hiking trails and greet some person on those property. And we will be happy to make an invitation next summer on Mount Foster, on which we are actually working to put up a trail web on this nice property. And there's a nice summit with a fantastic view of all the landscape in the area. So we will make some news with that next year.